It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your hosts, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 252-247-7282. And let's talk legal.
Now let's do that. And if you want to join the conversation, the phone lines are open. Call us at 252-247-7282. Gentlemen, good morning. Cecil. Wes.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Over the span of the last weeks and months or so, we've been talking about topics such as the rights of a spouse.
We absolutely have, Mike. Wes and I have actually had several programs here on the rights of the spouse. Mm-hmm. Our listeners remember that we mentioned that you really can't totally disinherit your spouse.
Sure.
They have a right to an elective share in your estate. They have a right to what the law calls a year's allowance. There are all sorts of rights that vest in our spouse. And we have talked about those rights here, Mike, on the program. Well, just now, when we begin to understand the rights of the spouse, Wes and I are about to explain how those rights get abandoned.
So the law giveth, the law may taketh.
Correct.
Yes.
So there's always, always, always the famous rule and then the exception to the rule. And we lawyers many times are in our files are dealing with the exception to the rule. That's pretty common.
Mm-hmm.
And so today we're going to talk about kind of that exception to the rule. A spouse does have many, many rights, but how do those rights potentially get abandoned? Under what circumstances? And what kinds of rights?
Well, let's unpack
yes.
that here point by point. Wes, you want to start?
Probably the best way to describe it to listeners, to folks listening this morning, would be just to give a very broad scenario of what we see fairly often, Mike. You know, a situation such as, you know, the person passes away, they were married to someone, that someone has been not part of their life forever, but they never got divorced.
Sure.
Or that someone, you know, kind of vacated on the marriage for whatever reason. Sometimes, unfortunately, in sickness and in health, doesn't hold true. If someone gets sick, then the person doesn't want to be the caregiver. They move out.
Mm-hmm.
But in those type situations, oftentimes the kids, let's say, for example, the children of the person who's passed away, these might be children from a previous marriage. It could be any type of circumstances. They're surprised to hear that, my goodness, this your father's wife, for example, receives, you know, potentially potentially intestate rights, which could be very significant. The first $60,000 of personal property, which is what we refer to as the year's allowance, can file an elective share, which could be up to 50% of all net assets. And the children say, well, Mr. Collins, how in the world does she get all of that?
She's been gone for
all
these
years. She's
been
gone forever.
Yeah.
You know, well, it's because they're married. Those are rights we've been talking about on the program. However, there are defenses to those rights could be raised, which we refer to generally as abandonment defenses. And they're in general things as what I've just described. The spouse has vacated the marriage without justification, or the spouse has lived in an adulterous situation. And we have the statute here today, so we can go through the terminology and go through each of the particular rights that are lost.
Mm-hmm.
But the way this frames up would be that, you know, a lot of these rights come into play right when someone passes away. The estate is opened. There can be a will leaving everything to the kids, for example. Doesn't matter if there's a spouse. The spouse still has,
yeah,
you know, his or her rights. So a lot of times, again, these things kind of come to the forefront right away, because it's pretty often that certain claims are made right away when an estate starts through its administration, such as the year's allowance, which is a $60,000 amount, personal property, right off the top, goes to the spouse. Well, there's a very short period of time in order to appeal that. And sometimes, you know, when we're needing to do that, you file a notice of appeal within the 10 days, very short. And then the basis of that may be an abandonment claim. Well, no, you don't get that $60,000 personal property because you abandoned the relationship, whatever, a year ago, years ago, whatever it may be. So that's the way that that lines up. The abandonment claim is normally filed in, it could be district court, but we normally file them in superior court. Many cases it's a jury matter where the jury makes a determination based on the evidence presented as it relates to whether the person did in fact abandon the relationship, whether the elements of the statute are met or not. And the jury just makes that determination. And once that determination is made, then that affects the entire rest of the administration of the estate that's still at the clerk level, as we've talked about. It establishes whether this surviving spouse does have those rights of the elective share that they may have made, but they would have to make within 6 months of the qualification. It establishes whether the surviving spouse has that year's allowance right of the $60,000. It establishes everything. And in the event that there is a determination of abandonment and the will leaves everything, for example, to the kids, then that surviving spouse just doesn't receive anything because the abandonment statute then cuts off your rights. So you can't just walk into the clerk of court's office through an administration of estate and say, well, that spouse, they may have been married, but she abandoned the relationship, so she doesn't get anything.
It's not that easy.
The clerk doesn't have the right to make that determination. It's a matter that would have to be litigated.
And by doing that, it sounds like the time frame just gets elongated as far as if you're throwing that in the super court, superior court before a jury, you're not talking about a couple weeks after.
It's going to slow things down. But, you know, when you're talking about, you know, the rights of a surviving spouse and, you know, these rights of abandonment and how this can get to be so, or the defenses of abandonment and how abandonment may affect those rights, you see how important it is to take care of business
before.
Go ahead and get that divorce, by the way. Go ahead and get that. All you have to do is have 1 year separation.
Yeah.
And if you have 1 year living separate and apart, you can get divorced, and then you don't have to worry about the possibility of that that spouse out there. Because some people think, well, we're not together anymore. You know, we know how things are. I did my will. It leaves everything to my kids. No. Mm-hmm. No, that doesn't do it.
So many folks are in this factual pattern, Mike. They're separated. They've been separated for several years, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, 15 years. You know, they might talk to their, quote, ex-spouse. They think they're an ex-spouse. They might have, you know, conversation every now and then. They might even have children, but they haven't lived together for months, years, many years. And they don't, get the divorce. Maybe there's something about it that just they don't like. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, without a divorce, you throw your estate and issues concerning your estate into the gray zone. And the gray zone is not where we want to be, is it?
No. You want to be black and white.
The other issue with this, on this divorce thing that I think so many folks don't completely comprehend is that there is a big difference between a divorce and an agreement, property settlement agreement, separation agreement. As Wes just mentioned, one can get a divorce after 1 year of separation. That doesn't mean that the parties have agreed to property settlement and things of that nature. And so they're kind of like two elements, if you will, to a complete and satisfactorily what we lawyers like to see divorce. Number one is the divorce.
Mm-hmm.
That's the easy part. Number two is a property settlement agreement. And this is even if you don't own any property. At least you say you don't own any property.
Right.
And therefore, you know, my spouse doesn't have any right to the property. I'm off on a little bit of a tangent, and I know that about divorce and property settlement agreement. But one of the very first elements of the abandonment of the spouse is this issue that the spouse from whom there's an absolute divorce or annulment has been obtained. So in other words, even though there's been no property settlement agreement, there's been a divorce that has occurred possibly after 1 year. And this is going to affect these issues.
That makes sense. The divorce dissolves the marriage, but there could still be property or other assets attached to that relationship, not necessarily.
Right. And just kind of piggybacking on what Cecil was talking about, your property settlement agreement would assume that there, when we're talking about a divorce, mm-hmm. would assume that there was an agreement. Mm-hmm. In the event there isn't an agreement, then how do we resolve those issues of property? Well, it's through a separate but akin proceeding to the divorce, mm-hmm. which we've heard of before, equitable distribution. That's where the court. District court makes the determination as to where the assets are then split, divided, with a presumption that they would be divided equally, but it could be a different division based on circumstances, alimony issues, all those type yeah. things, which is a little separate but still get dealt with as well. But I think it's probably best that we walk through the statute, and I know that maybe we're up
to let's take a break here. Okay. We'll collect our thoughts, and then we'll come back and walk through the statutes. They're an important topic, as always, here when we talk with Harvell and Collins. If you want to join the conversation here as we move through the program, call us at 252-247-7282, and you can go online to harvellandcollins.com or call after the show the office here in Moorhead City, 252-726-9050. We'll be right back with more of Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins, and you can check out Harvell and Collins by going online to harvellandcollins.com or call after the show, 252-726-9050. Wes, I believe you're going to walk us through the statute.
Yeah, my goodness, I don't want to bore the listeners too much with a North Carolina general statute lesson, but let's just kind of walk through it briefly. But, you know, there's several elements here. We were talking about acts that bar a spouse's right.
Mm-hmm.
This is an act that a spouse can't inherit it because of these. And we're just focusing on abandonment. There are other acts like what we call the slayer statute. In the event one spouse kills the other, then there's a whole other statute about that. But we're talking about abandonment only.
Okay.
And the first one's pretty basic. That one's just if there's a divorce or marriage annulment or divorce from bed and board, if that's actually been obtained. But that's really kind of elementary. We know that if there's a divorce. Now, next, a spouse who voluntarily separates from the other spouse and lives in adultery and such has not been condoned. Okay? Separates from the other spouse, meaning basically abandons
moves
or
out.
Leaves the relationship,
mm-hmm.
right, moves out, and lives in adultery and... You know, this is a really interesting issue when we get into this in the litigation context, because think about what kind of discovery we're doing, what kind of written discovery requests we're doing. What does a deposition look like when we're asking questions about other person's relationships
mm-hmm.
and what things those people may have been doing, frankly, physically together?
Sure.
You know? So you kind of got to get into the closet there a little bit with what's going on with these people, you know. And but that's part of it, living in adultery while you're still married. So if you're going to, you know, if you're going to be a bad actor as it relates to that, then under this statute, if we can prove it, then you don't get anything in the event of the death of your husband or wife.
Okay. Fair enough.
The next one is a spouse who willfully and without just cause abandons and refuses to live with the other spouse and is not living with the other spouse at the time of such spouse's death. Okay, that's really the heart of what we've been talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
There's no justification, no basis for abandoning and refusing to live with the other spouse and just not living in the home, being kind of vacating the...
Just drifted away.
Yeah, vacating the marriage, vacating the sanctity of the marriage and just acting as though you're not married anymore. But then, you know, it's funny how these things come about. The person passes away and all of a sudden the person's wasn't involved. But here I am. Yeah. I want my $60,000. Mm-hmm. I want my intestate share. I want my elective share because we were married. Oh, yeah. I loved him. You know,
hadn't seen him in 15 years, but here I am.
Let's look at the facts. Yeah. You know, and that, what does that discovery look like? Well, we look at things like, you know, we'll get financial records to see if there's any kind of sharing of expenses. Mm-hmm. We'll get phone records, see the last time that they spoke. We'll do discovery with regard to when was the last time that you spent a night at his or her, you know, house together. You know, these kind of things, and, you know, get into the meat of that. We'll ask the abandoning spouse to provide any witnesses, obviously, who would know anything about the relationship, so we can potentially take their deposition. So, you know, just because you say that you were still together
doesn't mean you were together.
You get the evidence out there, yeah, and, you know, we'll be able to prove it one way or another. So those are the primary things. We also have one that doesn't apply very often, a spouse that obtains a divorce, the validity of which is not recognized under the laws of the state, a defective divorce. So let's say that the person thought that they did get a divorce, but there was some issue that was a defect. Maybe it was in a different state, but it didn't comport with the laws of the state of North Carolina, or there wasn't, in fact, a four-year separate, or whatever it may have been.
Sure.
Okay, but if the person thought, and it appears as though they thought that they did get a divorce, then they're not also going to be able to collect. And then we talk about a spouse who knowingly contracts a bigamous marriage. So what rights are lost? Maybe, Cecil, you can take us through that as we look at Section B when we talk about intestate succession, homestead, yeah, elective share. Because then once we establish the abandonment,
yeah,
what are these rights that are lost? We've touched on it thus far, but going through the statute is very specific about what exact rights are lost.
Well, Mike, our listeners might remember that if you die without a will, with no will, and if you have a spouse, the spouse is first up to the bat in terms of being the administrator slash executor of the estate. There is a preference toward the surviving spouse being the administrator executor of the estate. Now, if we have a will, the will is going to govern who, mm-hmm, the appointment is. But if you die without a will, then the spouse has the first option to be the executor. Well, not if this statute applies. Not if you've abandoned, mm-hmm, your spouse. Then that option no longer applies.
That makes sense.
Next, of course, we've discussed on the program that there is a statutory scheme whereby the assets of the estate are distributed when you die without a will. And right up there at the top, of course, is the distributive share to the surviving spouse. They do receive a most significant share of their spouse's estate. They don't receive all of it. Mm-hmm. We've discussed that. But they receive a significant share. Well, not if this statute applies. You would not be able to receive your intestate share. We've talked on the program about the elective share. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That's where the spouse has the right to elect a share against the estate and take from the estate a high percentage of the assets based on the number of years of marriage. Okay, remember that?
Sure.
And after, you know, 10 or 15 years, it's nearly of marriage, that is, it's half of the estate, 50% of the estate. Well, if the statute applies, your elective share would be not approved, okay? There is this year's allowance, which is the $60,000 that goes to a spouse off the top, to the exclusion, I might add, we've discussed this on the program, to the exclusion of the creditors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Any creditors in the estate. Well, again, that right would not apply. So you can begin to see here, there are quite a few of them. Let me see if I've missed one. Year's allowance, the right to administer the estate, the right to the right to the share of the intestate share, which is that percentage again. Yep. There's a lot. That's most of them that I see here. Those are generally the rights of the spouse in an estate. So it's quite significant.
Very significant. Very significant. Yeah. And, you know, when going into this conversation, the rights of a spouse and then abandonment, I figured it was going to be laid out in statute, yeah. But it's, you know, not subjective. So it's right there in black and white.
It is. And Mike, all of this in our last few minutes comes down to, you know, and I know we're waving for a break, but just one more sentence.
Sure.
You know, let's get our affairs in order. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just be married and decide I'm going to walk out the door and go take a road trip.
And see you later.
I mean,
you know, 5 years you haven't been back
home. I mean, there's
home.
Got to be understandings and agreements about things.
Yeah.
If you're going to separate, then let's find a
Do
separation lawyer and let's put it in writing.
Yeah.
So that we all know where we stand if then while we're on that road trip something happens to us.
Exactly. Mm. There are paths for everybody and you need to plan ahead. And as Cecil just said, if you're leaving and you're not coming back, divorce and the marriage. Start anew. You won't be the first.
Correct.
We'll take a short break here and come back with our final segment of Harvell and Collins. You can reach them after the show at 726-9050 or go online to harvellandcollins.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Harvell and Collins, and let's talk legal. And gentlemen, a good topic once again, a very deep and rich topic. We probably just scratched the surface on this, but Cecil or Wes, I'll give you the last 2 minutes here to close out the show.
Well, we can talk about abandonment all we want to, but the moral of the story is take care of your business.
Yeah, plan ahead, right?
Yeah, I mean, second marriages, third marriages, go ahead and get a prenup. I mean, let's just do that to keep things separated. And in the event there's a prenuptial agreement, mm-hmm. then a good prenuptial agreement is going to address all these issues anyway. In the event that, you know, you're not living together anymore and the marriage really isn't working anymore and it's time to get the divorce, we'll get the divorce. Divorce is cheap.
Mm-hmm.
This could be very expensive to your family in the event that you pass away.
Sure.
You know, so if you don't take care of your own business, the twists and turns of life coupled with the North Carolina general statutes are going to take care of your business for you. And in many cases, it's just not what you would want. In almost every case, it's not what the average person would want. So take care of your business.
Well, and that one point you made about throwing it in the superior court struck home with me as far as you could take care of this business in a very quiet setting at Harvell and Collins in your office and have it all planned out and mapped out versus just sure. procrastinating on trying to forget about it. And then lo and behold, when you're passed or your spouse passes, right. who's never been around or abandoned you, now you're in court
right,
before
right.
a jury.
Right.
You know, it sounds a lot more complicated.
Ounce of prevention, pound of cure.
Yeah, something like that.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, plan ahead. So plan ahead now. Start today. Don't wait. And call Harvell and Collins at 252-726-9050 or go online to harvellandcollins.com. I guess we have another minute or so if you wanted to add some punctuation to that.
So our guy in the back
he's saying
room
30
there
seconds.
With all the hand signals,
yeah.
I've been doing this 16 years. I don't know what these signals mean. There's like a half thing
you're catching
and
on.
One thing. He's yeah. back there doing. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much time we've got left. But I probably just used up our last minute
there
right
did.
There.
You did a good job, counselor. Very good. Again, Harvell and Collins, go online to harvellandcollins.com or call 252-726-9050. Thanks, gentlemen.
Join me, Matt Dodge, on the new Matt Dodge Show every Saturday morning at 7:30.